Chris, is your father mad at us? He turned away as soon it was as soon as the show was over. He turned away and got into his computer, and it seemed like. And I asked you, is he mad at us? Do you know, Chris? What's your best guess?
I don't think he is. He kind of turned away towards his computer. I don't think so. I usually have a decent read for this. Dad, are you mad?
No.
Okay, maybe he is mad.
That pause suggests he's mad.
Well, yeah, sounds mad.
But yes, Greg, we are still doing shows. Well. So if you want to give your Tua thoughts, I would like to hear them. I tried to ask for them before, and you said I knew this was going to happen. The writing was on the wall.
This is bad. This is really mad disappointed because, Dan, he does the same thing that I do when I am upset and disappointed. He just gazed out the window. And, like, I don't know if you noticed that, but that's what you're deep in thought. Thinking if you want to do this anymore. I've been there, Greg. You're mad. I mean, I know it.
Just, Greg, come on. Give us your two cents.
Well, you know, this treatment of me on the show at times is why Uncle Dick has some very interesting things to say on the new Greg Cody Show podcast. I'll start there. Now, turning to Tua. The Dolphins have followed the Greg Cody blueprint. Okay.
Oh, Christ.
I've been pro Tua the whole time. I said they should draft him. I predicted in my mock draft they would take him. I said that Fitzpatrick should start. I said it's
Greg,
too early
hold on
for
a second.
Tua.
All right, this isn't
Greg,
about you.
Your Tua take is all about you getting it right each time. Like that's
right.
So this is what we couldn't get in the segment when I asked you for it. And this is what you're complaining about because we hard networked out you because you were so eager to tell everybody that you were right about everything.
Look, it's beyond obvious the impact of this. Okay, Marino walks off a football field for the last time on January 15th, 2000. And for 20 years, Dolphin fans have been crying and dying to feel this kind of hope. And Sunday afternoon, when he starts warming up on the sideline, they felt it for the first time in 20 years. They didn't feel it with Chad Pennington, Jay Fiedler, Ryan Tannehill, Ryan Fitzpatrick, nobody else until right now. And so this slight kid who looks like a built like a blade of grass is carrying on his shoulders the hopes of Dolphin fans to finally be a winning team again. That's a lot of responsibility. It's going to be fascinating to see whether he's up for it. You know, his first start is going to be against Aaron Donald, and it's going to be very interesting to see. But you can't overestimate the significance of drafting Tua. When they did, it was the highest pick they'd spent on a quarterback since Bob Greasy in 1967. And let's see if they got what they drafted. And it's the most exciting thing that's happened to this franchise in a long time.
I understand forgetting it, but Dante Culpepper had this town on fire and was given the first game of the NFL season.
And Tannehill had the town on fire too. Tannehill did, just not like this. It wasn't like this. This is an unusual star power that he's taking into the huddle for the first time.
It's certainly easy to forget the Culpepper experience down here, but that was dominating newspaper articles.
Oh,
we're going to get this guy. You decide on him over Drew Brees, and you thought you had it settled, the position settled, and then it turned out he had a good game at Dolphin Stadium, but it was just for the Raiders instead. But Tua is absolutely, he comes in a star. He has plenty of national endorsement deals already. He was a super famous college football star, and now he comes to your franchise, and this is certainly the most excited I've seen the fan base since they acquired Dante Culpepper.
Culpepper was a way different situation and created nowhere near the excitement that Tua is now, and neither did Tannehill, by the way, because Tannehill was essentially a college receiver that they had converted to quarterback his senior year. He had none of the credentials, none of the resume. He didn't come from Alabama. He wasn't in the Heisman conversation.
He did throw. Wait a minute. He did throw close to 50 touchdown passes one season with the Vikings.
But this is different. This is a guy, Tua, that had he not been injured.
Did you not hear what I said? He threw damn near 50 touchdown passes for the Vikings in a season.
I understand.
He had a good season.
I understand that. But, Dan, you said it perfectly earlier. There is something about, for a fan, to be able to see a guy with those credentials play at Alabama, be 20, 21 years old, and with tremendous upside, maybe upside we've never seen before at that position in this sport, And it's fun for a fan to imagine what that could look like for the next 15 years.
And just out of curiosity, why are you doing that? Is that how he's regarded? Tremendous upside, unlike any we've seen in the sport?
He was, before the injury, he was consensus number one pick. They were making comparisons, like the best quarterback prospect to come out of college is Andrew Luck. I mean, that's some of the things that was.
Am I getting this wrong when I don't remember it that way? I remember him being great. I remember him being a champion. I remember him being at the center of our most famous team. I remember him being the novelty of being left-handed and being athletic. I don't remember him being regarded in those terms, especially not after getting hurt.
Oh, not after getting hurt, but before then. Remember how we were introduced to Tua? They made a surprise coaching decision against in a Georgia. National title yeah. game against Georgia. We were doing a watch-along for ESPN, and it was evident. Whoa, who is this guy? And now the injury is why he was the number two pick. Behind Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow had one of the greatest college football seasons.
The greatest.
And if Tua doesn't get hurt, Joe Burrow is still probably going behind Tua. So you seize the opportunity in having him drop a little bit. Now we'll see if that's actually cause for legitimate concern. It's the reason why he wasn't number one, and he's got a pass rusher in Aaron Donald in his first assignment coming off a bye that's going to test him right away.
The part that's like I'm struggling with is that I'm so excited, but I'm also so nervous for him to be just another flop of a quarterback. Like, that's almost why I'm like, I wanted to put this off like as long as possible. As much as I want to see him, I don't know if I'm prepared to deal with him not being great.
Oh, but Chris, the timing of this, look, maybe they're not right either. Okay. Maybe they're not right. But the timing of this, the specifics of the Dolphins are coming off back-to-back blowouts. They never do that. Buffalo's coming off of falling back to the rest of the division in a weekend where the Patriots just lost to Denver at home. The Dolphins have been this season as good as anyone could have thought, right? Like that, them at 3-3 with Fitzpatrick at the quarterback. They have looked disciplined and well-coached. They are at their limits, I would say, in terms of what they're maxing out with their talent. Now it feels like the quarterback, the people who've been studying the quarterback, who have the most invested in the quarterback, who are scared just like you, have seen something in practice that they're like, no, now is the time for us to press on the gas pedal and try and get better at that position. Now, I don't know if they're going to be right or not, but the timing of it is that. They're telling you, no, we believe this guy can go win us the division. Is it not? Like, this is not experiment. 100%. This is not experiment with Tua time.
So, guys, you gave the argument as to why they're putting Tua in, and every single merit that you were attaching to it was exactly why you would keep a player like Ryan Fitzpatrick in.
Right.
You don't go through the growing pains with a young player. If this is an attainable division, you stick with Ryan Fitzpatrick, who's been a good pro for you. So it's pretty obvious they see something right. I am envious of the Dolphins fans because we go through this occasionally. As being Jets and Browns fans, the excitement that they're feeling right now is a little different because usually when we're taking a quarterback, we're also breaking in a new coaching staff,
right?
And it's a mutual relationship, and sometimes a quarterback is done in by the coaching staff, and sometimes it goes the other way. You know that you have trust in Brian Flores as a head coach, which if you do have trust in him as your head coach, then you have to have trust in this being the right decision and in Tua's body being ready to go.
Greg, when you factor all this stuff into the equation, right? The coach appears to be competent, appears to be very, very good at his job, okay? Standing next to Belichick must have helped him. It didn't help many others, but it must have helped him, okay? You combine that with young quarterback, young wide receiver in Devontae Parker, a pretty good defense, pretty good offensive line. You have your draft pick. You have the Texans' number one draft pick next year. I would think, since Marino, this is the most exciting time for a Dolphin fan, right?
It unquestionably is, and I've lived through it all. And the thing is, there's not an iota of sense that they're hurrying this, that they're rushing to it. It's going to be 8 weeks into the season when he takes his first snap as a starter. And this is after four impressive Dolphin performances in a row, four. So I think there's the sense that he's not taking over a shaky team. He's taking over a team that's been pretty good the last month and is ready to insulate him in some talent. You know, there's no burden on Tua right now beyond fan expectations. In terms of team expectations, I think the Dolphins are playing well enough where it's not all on him to lift a really bad team. He's surrounded with what in the past month has looked like a pretty good team.
There's only one thing left to do right now.
What's that?
Miami has the Dolphins, the greatest football, team. We get the ball from Gallman. I'm so happy. Roy, are you happy? Roy, you're a Dolphins fan. What's your level of excitement?
I mean, I'm pretty hyped about this, and I don't really remember the last time we got hyped about a lefty quarterback since what? Michael Vick.
But so Roy, do you feel happy
about this?
Do you feel me on like there's excitement, but there's also a fear of him like not panning out?
Of course, there's that fear, Chris.
But that's the part that like I don't.
So what?
Like,
that's what makes you feel alive, man. Is
but
he
for
be
Tannehill,
great?
But for Tannehill, I didn't feel that fear as much because he was like maybe it was because of the receiver thing. Like I wasn't expecting him. Like I wasn't sure he was going to be great. All this hype around Tua, like I'm just scared for him not to be good.
It's all about expectations. With Tannehill, you had no idea. He might be good. He might be bad. And you didn't really care, right? With Tua, the expectation is you're going to be great. That's why you're nervous.
Yeah.
You're nervous that he might not
be great.
I've
never felt that.
Yes.
I was too young for Marino. Like that was before I was born. So
you're just like, close. You're just so close to being relevant for the next 15 years. You're well positioned to be dynastic. People are talking about them in those terms, specifically because of how well they manage their draft picks. They have the Texans draft pick. That's going very well for you. Usually when the number two overall pick comes into a team and has all these expectations, he has to lift a bad team and an unproven coach. He has a proven coach. He has a team that right now they're putting Tua in the thick of a playoff chase at 3-3. This is an attainable goal for this team if they keep ascending when you take last season into consideration. If you nail this pick, it's not just like, yeah, we got a quarterback. Oh no, we got a team that's going to be in the conversation for close to a decade.
Yes. And Chris, let me give you a good example with the quarterback position. When Chad Pennington was drafted by the Jets, there were no expectations. He was from Marshall. If he turns out to be great, great. And he turned out to be very, very good. Sam Darnold, there were major expectations. USC, top five pick, you know, contender for the Heisman Trophy. There were major expectations for him that we didn't have for Chad Pennington. And I was nervous watching Darnold the first game. The same way you're going to be nervous watching Tua in 2 weeks. Yeah.
I don't know if I want to go or not. Oh, I want to go, I think.
Don't go.
You know, in this case, all of the expectations are magnified by the anxiety over the injury history and the health concerns. And so, you know, you're not only nervous, is Tua going to be as good as we hope he is? You're also nervous about, is he going to stay healthy? And that's a real factor. He's fairly slight. He doesn't have the world's best offensive line in front of him. He's got an average running game to support him. So, you know, there's a lot for him to take on, but the expectations are exciting.
Oh, and the health concerns are super legitimate, specifically because he just suffered a massive injury to his hip that was born out of him trying to play and being a more diluted version of himself through another injury. So you have to kind of see, can this player hold up through an NFL season? Because we know if he gets a slight injury to his ankle, that could have bigger ramifications for him in season ending ones like it just had in Alabama.
You could also not get any of these answers this season. Like, he could play the rest of the season. You could still really not know if he's good or not.
Yeah. Well, we spent 7 years with Ryan Tannehill going, is he good enough? He's okay. He's fine, but is he, you know, and I don't think Tua is going to be that. I mean, he's either going to flame out or he's going to be really good.
Do you think Dolphins fans will be patient? Like, what if he doesn't look great the first few weeks? Like, it's just going to be panic, right?
Especially if the Texans have that number one pick. They'll want to spend it on Lawrence. I mean,
like let's say he just looks bad in the first two games and they're 3-5. Can you go back to Fitzpatrick, or is just the rest of the year, however it plays out, we're starting Tua?
That's a good question, and that's what Brian Flores has to decide, because you're also coaching the mentality of your rookie quarterback, and I don't think you can bench him after two starts. You know, if he throws three interceptions in the first two games, I think you have to go with what you have, at least for a time, more than just a couple of games.
But does that depend on where they are in terms of playoff positioning? So, like, let's say Tua is not getting it done, but they still find themselves in the hunt, and he says, you know what, we could make the playoffs. Do you think they make a switch then to make the playoffs, or they are just committed to Tua moving forward?
That's another great question, because this was a rebuilding year. Let's be honest. I mean, I think next year they expected to sort of be where they want to be more than this year. This year's been a pleasant surprise so far.
But that's why they made the move, Greg. They weren't expecting 3-3, 4-2 Bills, Patriots are 2-3. They have a chance to win a division here, and Fitzpatrick is not a guy who wins you anything, okay? He's a stopgap. That's what he's been his entire career. And there's upside to Tua that maybe, hey, this guy can get it done. If he's good, we win the division, we go to the playoffs.
I think they were going to start Tua when Tua was ready. I don't think it depended on what their one loss record was. I don't think it depended on how well Ryan Fitzpatrick was playing. When Tua was ready, he was going to start. And that's what we're seeing right now.